Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to our podcast, My Wife Hates Video Games. I'm your host, Travis Bone, more affectionately known as Finally He Sleeps Across the Interwebs. I'm a Gen X video game addict, beer enthusiast, and pop culture fanboy. Each episode, we'll talk movies, books, sci-fi, gaming, comics, tell some stories, laugh a little bit, and troll the world we're living in. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let's get down to business and see what's been going on since our last episode. Okay, so now, normally the intro for this thing has all kinds of stuff in there about being from the United States and, you know, soccer and that it's a weekly podcast. Holy shit, is that not the case? The podcast started out weekly a couple of years ago. And it's just, it's a lot of work and there wasn't a whole lot of, I wasn't getting anything back out of the time that was being spent on the podcast. So it became like a bi-weekly podcast, and then I kind of slowed it down. But as soon as I stopped doing it, I started getting a lot of feedback. Like, people were like, you know, where's the next episode? Where's the next episode? I'm like, guys, I've only got so much time in the day, and it's not giving me anything back for what I'm spending on it. So I just kind of back-burnered it for a while. Then people kept requesting, so then I would put an episode out like every month. Then it just kind of, it just sat. And last year on New Year's Eve, I decided to post a new episode, see how it went, and was going to really try to focus on it again for this year. That's the last episode. So here's what happened. Basically just came down to, is it worth the amount of time and effort that I'm putting in for what I'm getting out of it? And there was just so much other stuff going on. Electronic Arts, EA, there was a connection created there that was allowing us to do giveaways on Twitch and through YouTube and social media. That took a lot of time. So, you know, and there was actually revenue coming out of that. So I walked away from the podcast this year. But, and this is a big but, this is a Kardashian-sized but, people have continued to request it. It's still getting downloads. People are still listening to the episodes from a year ago. So I finally decided it's time to bring this thing back. So this is going to be the inaugural episode, the recap of 2021, the dumpster fire that we are still in, and just reintroduce the podcast, kind of make some changes and see if it's something that will take off moving forward. So enjoy it. Get ready. This is what the My Wife Hates Video Games podcast is going to morph into. Let's dig right into the movie scene. There's been so much that's going on this year, and I can't go through all the movies. You know, when the episodes were coming fast and hard every week, it was like, what did I watch? What was going on? What did I like? What did I hate? But we've got a whole, you know, 11 months since the last episode. So I'm going to narrow this down to the important ones. Actually, it's not really the important ones. It's just the ones that I can remember since the last podcast. Let's go. Dune. Oh, my God. Charlamagne kid drives me nuts. Everything about him, he's just like this. When you look at him, he looks like a whiny little just flaky bitch. And when you watch the movie, the new one, not the old one, not the David Lynch one, that one's awful too, but that's awful for a whole different reason. The new one, when you see it, there's the first scene with him, he's like getting out of bed and he's like all waif thin. He reminds me of, was it the movie where Christian Bale was like an insomniac and he lost like 130 pounds and he looked like a skeleton that someone put skin on. That's kind of what he looks like in the opening scene, which doesn't help my personal opinion on Timothy Chalamet. And his character in that is so awful. Like, I could not get into it. But I mean, I hated the book. I hated the first movie. You know, and people, sci-fi fans are like, oh, Herbert, he's the greatest book. It's so epic. No, it's not. The book was so convoluted, hard to follow. The names are all jacked up, and it's just, I mean, I guess it's really old, so you can't say that it's cliche, but everything in it is just so heavy-handed and awful. It's awful. And the new movie isn't any different. It is just as awful. Seriously, I had an incredibly hard time staying awake, and I had to watch it twice to pay enough attention to be like, oh, what just happened? It was that bad. So, Dune, check that one off. Not ever going ever gonna talk about it again. Terrible. Terrible movie. Hereditary. I finally saw Hereditary this year. If you don't know what Hereditary is, it was this... it was in the theaters, but it was pretty much a straight-to-streaming, straight-to-DVD horror film with Toni Collette as this obsessive mother. And she had a mother who died, and you're trying to figure out what happened with her. The trailers made it look like some kind of psychological thing. And it was interesting because they don't give very much away in the trailer. It was kind of interesting, but I never got around to watching it. Someone told me, they're like, hey, have you seen Hereditary? It's like, no, I haven't seen it yet. They're like, you need to watch it. I'm like, seriously? And they're like, oh my God, it is so brutally violent. Like, there's a couple of scenes where you're like, holy shit. I'm like, what? And they're like, there's one scene when they're he's like walking on the ceiling. Wait a minute. I thought this was just like some psychological thing. They're like, no, that's not what it is. So I decided to watch it, to check it out. And I don't want to give any spoilers away, but it is the slowest build, but the acting in it, Gabriel Byrne plays her husband, and everything about it is just, there's this climactic buildup of like the penultimate moments in the movie. And there's about three or four when something happens and you're like, oh, that's what Hereditary is. And then it just hits in the very last 15, 20 minutes, and it takes a massive turn. It's a really twisting movie. People are going to hate it. Some people are going to love it. Is it kind of over the top? Yes. But as far as like a movie to rent and check out, I would recommend it to anyone. Hereditary may have been my favorite horror film so far of this year. Absolutely fantastic. Malignant. Malignant is it's a James Wan movie. And if you're familiar with James Wan, he's pretty well known for like The Conjuring, anything with like Ed and Lorraine Warren. He's got that, there's a set of actors that he does in the same films. He did the Insidious trilogy, which are, three of my favorite movies ever made. It's usually a very cerebral film, and not necessarily jump scares, but there are some jump scares. But a lot of his movies are all PG, PG-13, because it's not about violence. It's about just like the trauma and terror that goes into this stuff. Specifically like The Conjuring. Those are the best examples of what I think of as being a James Wan movie. Malignant is not. It is anything but the trailers didn't do it justice again, which is great for a movie like this. If they explained what the movie was in the trailers, I wouldn't have wanted to watch it. But the trailers are so vague that the actual movie hits you by complete surprise. It is so much like a Sam Raimi movie. Sam Raimi's the guy that made all of the Evil Dead. He redid a couple of movies. What am I thinking? He did the one where It was about like a gypsy curse. It was a gypsy. What the hell is that movie? It had Spider-Man in it, Tobey Maguire. And anyway, Sam Raimi's films are a little bit more hokey. Not, I don't want to say hokey because that sounds bad. It's not hokey. They're just a little bit more in your face. The soundtrack for the movies, not just the music, but the sound effects and everything that go into it are a lot more James Gunn than they are subtle. If you put in the realm of psychological and horror and all that kind of stuff, if you put Alfred Hitchcock on one end and James Gunn on the other, Sam Raimi is definitely closer to James Gunn, and James Wan is definitely closer to Alfred Hitchcock. And this movie is way past Sam Raimi, well on his way to James Gunn. I don't want to give anything big away, but the use of music in the movie was stellar. It set the tone of it being not tongue-in-cheek, but close to it. It's some of the scenes that I like to say heavy-handed, but it's not done in a bad way. It's more ironic, I guess. But Malignant, the killer in Malignant, its name's Gabriel, and there's the movements are all like herky-jerky. I don't even know if the is that a word? Something like my grandma would say, but that's kind of how it feels, which makes it even creepier. But it was one of those movies that I was laughing through half of it, but then jumping, and just because we were having so much fun. It was the funnest horror movie I've seen all year. Malignant by James Wan. If you're familiar with the old podcast, I always talk about what I'm watching with my daughter. And she's been asking to see some different movies, some older stuff. And we went through a whole bunch of different series. And we kind of got to the point where we're stuck. We don't know what else to watch. And the new trailer for Ghostbusters Afterlife came out. And I grew up as a Ghostbusters kid. That was my series as a child. Because the first one came out when I was 8 years old. I think 8 years old. And as an 8-year-old child watching Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, Harold Ramis, those four guys were my heroes as a child. The first one and the second one were staples. I watched them over and over and over all throughout, even into like college. Loved those movies. Then they redid it with like the Saturday Night Live girls, and I liked it. It was a reboot and it was different, but it didn't really do anything for the Ghostbusters canon. But Afterlife is the actual sequel to Ghostbusters 2. And I think the last time I saw a trailer that affected me as much as Ghostbusters Afterlife was Rogue One, which is my favorite of all the Star Wars movies. And I'm a very audible guy when it comes to trailers and stuff like that. The music and the sound does everything for me. And the sound in the Rogue One trailer was like that deep sound that kind of reminded you of the Empire in the original trilogy.
What will you do when they catch you? What will you do if they break you? If you continue to fight, what will you become?
That sound is what gave me the emotional buzz that Rogue One had. That's what Afterlife is. That once you hear those iconic sounds from the original Ghostbusters, the trailer is just awe-inspiring.
has a gunner seat?
Everything about it just looks like it's going to be my favorite film of the year. The problem is, again, still we're dealing with a pandemic and we can't go to the theater. My daughter was just in that age where she's not eligible for vaccination up until just recently. So we have her vaccinated at this point, but sure, her immunities haven't kicked in and she hasn't gotten her second one yet. So I think we're going to wait on the theater. But definitely Ghostbusters Afterlife is the most anticipated film for me for this year. Cannot wait for it. It better be good. It better not let me down like the last Star Wars did. Not that that one let me down, but it was just... Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man trailer is coming out, and I am not nearly as excited about it as everybody else. I think I've said the words heavy-handed about 5 or 6 times so far this podcast, but that is exactly what the new Spider-Man looks like to me. It's just, I like that they're bringing back characters, and we've got, you see Sandman and the Lizard, and you've got Melina in there, and Willem Dafoe is the Green Goblin, and everybody. But when you bring everybody back like that into a movie, it's either going to be huge like Infinity Wars was, or it's going to be just so, like, just cameo after cameo after cameo that it doesn't really have a point. And I'm afraid that it's going to be cameo after cameo after cameo without a point. That's my biggest fear. And I don't know. If anything, it's given me a reason to rewatch all the old Spider-Man movies. And there are two that I never watched. The two middle ones, I can't even remember who made them or who the kid is in them, because they didn't look like anything I wanted to see. I think Jamie Foxx was like Electro in the one, and was it Paul Giamatti was in the other one? Maybe, I can't remember. I just know I never saw them. They didn't look very interesting, so I just skipped them. But I guess we're going to have to watch them now because those guys are back in this new movie. I think that about wraps it up on the movie side. Wait, I do have one more movie that I can't... How did I forget this? I said that Malignant was the most fun I've seen in a horror movie, but the most fun I've had watching a movie at home this year during the pandemic was Suicide Squad, the James Gunn Suicide Squad sequel. I watched they premiered it on HBO Max. That and Mortal Kombat were both released at like 2 in the morning, and we stayed up those nights, me and my son, and watched the premiere at their release for both Suicide Squad and Mortal Kombat, just to have something to say we did during the pandemic. Mortal Kombat was decent. It was good because it played homage to the old games, and it reminded me of everything that we wanted the old movies to be, but they weren't because they wanted a PG-13 rating. So that was good. But Suicide Squad was fucking epic. My God, that movie, it was, I mean, if you have to understand how much I enjoy movies that are never going to win an award, that are just there for the just in your face, like comedy and action and everything. James Gunn is my hero. That movie was so good. It had a bunch of shit that you didn't see coming. There was a few things that really pissed me off with the movie. I don't want to give any spoilers away to anybody that hasn't seen it yet. And let's see, who was it? John Cena as Peacemaker was hilarious. It was the best role I've seen him play. And as soon as the movie was coming out, we were reading about it, and James Gunn said that he liked the character so much, he wrote a treatment for a mini series around John Cena as Peacemaker during the filming of Suicide Squad, and it got picked up during the filming, and it's coming out. It'll be out, I think it's January, December or January on HBO Max. It's a mini series about the origins of the Peacemaker character with John Cena. And he was horrible and hilarious. Just one of the best parts of the movie. I mean, I hate him. You just hate him because he's so awful, but it's so good. The only thing about Suicide Squad that bothered me is the characters and the actors that I really wanted to see in the movie were, they had kind of bit parts, not bit parts, but they didn't. I wanted to see Fillion in it, Nathan Fillion, a little bit longer. And I'm a massive Pete Davidson fan, so having him in the movie was very exciting. And the trailer, the most interesting and inspiring character in the trailers was Weasel. Again, another character I wanted to see a lot more of. And I kind of, you know, you had a few characters that were reprising their roles from the original, which kind of lends to them being in more movies. And unless they disregard this movie and move forward, it was disappointing how many characters, you know, that I think in the buildup, you saw one of the making of Suicide Squad. It had somebody and they're like, everybody dies. That's kind of what it is. Everybody dies. And that's not a spoiler per se, but just all my favorite characters, they bite it in this movie. James Gunn is like, oh, you like that guy? Fuck him. He's dead. You like her? Fuck her. She's dead. That's what the movie was, which made it better, but made it worse all at the same time. Suicide Squad. God, I need to watch that again.
Hand.
Yes, that is your hand. Very good.
We're all gonna die.
I hope so.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Before we leave the whole movie genre type stuff, let's talk about a couple of things that were on Disney Plus this year again, because we're still in the pandemic, so we're just watching stuff constantly. We had What If. What If was released, which is a homage to the Marvel Comics with The Watcher, where they take a side story like and said, well, you know, what if this happened? What if, you know, some strange thing occurred and it would be like a part of the multiverse? Like in this universe, let's see, we'll make an example. What if T'Challa was kidnapped by Yondu instead of Peter Quill? What if T'Challa became Star-Lord? That's one of the episodes. It's a cartoon. It's drawn incredibly well. It's very dark. It's not what you would expect to find on Disney. There's been a lot of stuff that's been on under the Disney umbrella that has not been very Disney lately, and this is one of them. There's one of the episodes is zombies. It was by far the best for me, and it starts out with like the Infinity Wars where Thanos comes to New York, but during that time, something happened, and a lot of the superheroes, the Avengers and stuff, all turn into zombies, which I won't go into why that happens, but they explained it in the story, which it's each of these episodes is a different universe, but they kind of overlap, and you get to see all these different things that happen, but it's a series, so they all kind of come together towards the end of these different scenarios and how they affect the multiverse. That episode, the zombies episode, was fantastic. There's a scene where Sharon Carter, is it Sharon? Yes, it's Sharon Carter, and she turns into a zombie, and they're trying to kill her because, you know, she just turned into a zombie, and the Wasp, makes herself really small, and she goes into Sharon Carter and then expands to full size and explodes her. And she's in this, it's just gross because she just explodes her. But she comes back and she starts dancing and she's like, oh my God, I'm covered in Sharon. Yeah!
Guys, I'm covered in Sharon.
The kid has hand sanitizer.
Which is not something you expect to hear coming out. There's a lot of stuff like that where it's just, it's not very, it's just gross, but great at the same time. What If was amazing. I think it was like 8 or 9 episodes, something like that, but it was really good. The other one that has become my favorite thing, we'll say thing, in the entire Marvel movie canon was the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the series on Disney Plus that was released this year. The only thing about it that really bothered me is they had the opportunity to name it instead of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It should have been called The Adventures of Sam and Bucky. That's how I'm going to refer to it forever. It was The Adventures of Sam and Bucky, not The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. But the storyline for it was just so well written and thought out. Very topical, let's say. And it went into depth on stuff that none of this has ever even considered before. That it takes place after the blip that occurs in Infinity Wars, and where half of the population of the world, you know, half of the population of the multiverse is wiped out with the snap of Thanos' fingers. But then after, when they bring everyone back, that's where this is taking place. So all of these people who were gone for that amount of time, and now they've been returned, are refugees because the governments tried to rebuild. You know, they lost their homes. Like, you know, for them, they were gone an instant, and they come back, and everybody else had moved on without them, and they don't have homes to go to. Their countries may be destroyed. They're considered by, for all intents and purposes, of, you know, of being dead and returned. So there's all this huge financial, economic, worldwide impact of these people returning after the blip. And that's what sets the tone for The Adventures of Sam and Bucky, of all these people who come back after the blip. There's a scene in it where Sam goes to the bank and he's trying to get money to help his sister rebuild their parents' boat, which is kind of like a sub story that goes on during it, is their parents are dead and they're trying to keep on their legacy with like a shrimp boat or something. And they go to the bank to get a loan. And he's like, I'm an Avenger. And they're like, oh, you know, we're so excited. They want his autograph and everything, but they won't give him a loan. They're like, you don't have very good credit. And he's like, why? I don't understand. And they're like, well, you don't have any work history for the last 7 years. He's like, it was the blip. Like that's one of the main, you know, parts of it is how would we handle all these people coming back after being gone all that time? And it's not just like one or two people. It's half of the population. Very cool film, or not film, series. Loved it. Is definitely my favorite in the entire Marvel canon. If you haven't watched The Adventures of Sam and Bucky on Disney Plus, holy shit, do not miss that. It should be your first priority. Oh my God, I got so much other stuff to talk about. We're already like 30 minutes into this podcast. Maybe I should just break this out into two and leave this stuff for another episode. I wanted to talk about Game of Thrones because I watched the entire series of Game of Thrones over the pandemic, just binge watched the entire thing. And I could talk about Game of Thrones for hours because I was so far behind what everybody else did. But I mean, Jesus, that I think that maybe will be an episode for next time. We'll talk about Game of Thrones next time. Just leave that for the next one because, man, that's, yeah, that's an entire episode all by itself. See, I'm looking at my topic list for this episode and it's, let's leave Game of Thrones for next episode. Got a couple of stories to tell. Maybe we'll leave one story for the next one too. Let's chat video games for a minute. The last game that I picked up over the pandemic was Raid Shadow Legends, which is a PC mobile game. And the reason I grabbed it and started to play with it is a sponsorship came up from Plarium Play, which is the company that runs it. They were offering sponsorships to YouTubers and Twitch streamers to play the game, get new people, you know, to create, I think it was like 4 hours of content to show people how the game was played, you know, be interested in it, pick it up, see if you can get other people to join and that kind of thing. And I, you know, it was a sponsorship. I thought, well, I'll try. It was a week long campaign, did it. And before the week was over, I was just total fanboy obsessed with this game. It did its job as far as addicting me. If you have OCD or you're one of those people who think they have OCD because you just like very involved things, you know, what is it, Catan or any of those old board games, like the RPG stuff, if you're a Dungeons and Dragons kid, any of that, it appeals to you. If you have a penis, it appeals to you. I'm not joking. The game is like softcore lingerie models. It appeals to the 14-year-old boy in us all. It's very, if you're over the age of 35 and you ever snuck off to the bathroom with a Sears catalog to look at the brawls in 1987, this game is up your alley. There's so much cleavage. It's just boobs everywhere. Boobs, boobs, boobs. Every chick is in high heels. It's way over the top as far as that goes. And they keep it like for all audience, you know, for all ages. But that part of the game is not why we became addicted, but it does make playing it a lot easier. I'm just saying, I'm being honest. The game itself is just really simple, but so time consuming, and not in a way that it steals your time. It's just there's always something you can be doing in a good way. There's always something you can do. It's a straight up farming game that incorporates like automatic play where you don't have to do anything. You just press a button and then watch. And it takes about a minute to run through something, and then you press a button and watch. And you're always trying to build better characters. It's all about farming your army of heroes and finding as many girls as you can with the biggest tits possible. That's how I play the game. I don't know if it's the same way for everybody, but it fully addicted. I've been streaming it late at night on Twitch. There's not a whole lot of people that are watching. I think the game to me, there's a massive amount of downloads for the game. There are a lot of people that play it, but it's not popular at all because I think there's a lot of people that are embarrassed to say that they play it. It's the moped of the gaming world. Like, it's fun. I mean, if you have a moped, you're going to want to ride it around, but you don't want to see your friends to see you playing it. They don't want to, you don't want them. They're like, oh, was that you out there on the moped yesterday? No, that was somebody else. That's what Raid is. I don't care. I absolutely love the shit out of this game. It is taking up so much of my time, and it's, you don't have to play it. You just set it and go. So you turn your phone on, you'll do something, and they have the game mechanics allow you to play in the background while the app has to be open. It's not like in the background, but it's in the background of your life. So you sit it on your desk at the office and you create an autoplay campaign where it's like a script in the game that does stuff for you. And then you just check back and check it out. It's perfect. It does everything I want a mobile game to do. I have a new sponsored campaign running with it. So if you're bored and you find me on Twitch or YouTube playing Raid, check it out. The game is crazy. I just got the new Battlefield literally last night. Grabbed the new Battlefield last night. Have not played it yet, but I remember I loved Battlefield when it first came out. I think it was the first game I played with. Was it the Frostbite engine? On console, it was a game that allowed you to destroy things and they stayed destroyed, and that became part of the game. The new one has all kinds of shit in it. There's like natural disasters. You can get caught in a hurricane or a tornado can pick you up and throw you around. There's just a lot. And I haven't played any first-person shooters since Borderlands, and I didn't get into... I mean, I played the last Call of Duty a little bit, but it didn't really do a whole lot for me. This, I think, is going to be something that I've wanted to play, this kind of a game, and I haven't done it in a while. I've been trying to get back into a console series, so I picked that up. And I'm also waiting the UFC 2 mobile game. I've been just prodding and poking EA to let me get involved in their beta test of the new UFC mobile. And there's been slow talks between myself and the people in charge of UFC Mobile 2, and they're slowly coming around to letting me check the game out and stream it. And I think the last thing I heard was that they asked if I was willing to sign a non-disclosure agreement. I'm like, hell yes, I'll sign anything you want. Just let me play the goddamn game. That's supposed to be coming out. They don't have any kind of a release date, so that could be next year, but I'm hoping to be able to check the game out and start streaming UFC Mobile 2 soon, if that goes through. I'm hoping, but it's been like 3 weeks of me trying to get them to let me in on the NDA to play the game. I think it needs to be story time now. We're running long, and I haven't even done any really good, entertaining stories, so this will be a did you know? My 10-year-old daughter is homeschooled. We've been doing that since the pandemic began because obviously I don't want her around a bunch of... I live in an area where if I drive from my house to the local grocery store, I will probably pass a Confederate flag at some point. It is Trump country, and I am the alien here in this area where, and I by alien, I mean, you know, college educated and not inbred. I have all my teeth. I live here because I kind of enjoy living away from everything, but it is, there's certain aspects of this, of living in this area of the country that, oh man, it's hard. I come home at night and I'm like, oh, I hate everyone. I hate my neighbors. I hate everyone I talk to, just because it's been worse the last couple of years because everyone has been allowed to let their crazy flag fly. Allowed to let their crazy flag fly. Yes, that's what it's been, which is not fun when you're one of the opposites to what everybody's thinking, and I'm surrounded. I am a stranger in a strange land here. But anyway, so she's being homeschooled because we send her to school. It's pretty much a recipe for disaster as far as the no one around here is vaccinated, that kind of shit. So we're still wearing masks and everything. Constantly getting into arguments with people like, why are you still wearing a mask? That, you know, the plandemic the kung flu, that's all gone. That's the kind of shit I hear when I go into the gas station. So anyway, the other day the wife was working with the daughter. The other night she'd come home from work. I'm in the office, which is like, you know, just right off of the kitchen where they're working. I'm doing my own thing, and I hear a argument start to ensue in the kitchen, and I'm listening to it like, what the hell are they talking about? And I heard, do chickens and roosters actually mate? That's what they were arguing over. Or do the eggs just get fertilized? Like, you know, the chickens lay the egg. Do they just lay the eggs, or does something have to happen? But the argument wasn't between my wife and my daughter. It was between my wife and my 16-year-old who had just walked in, and somehow he heard the conversation. So I'm in the other room, and I decide to Google that shit because I want to know what the hell do roosters, do they actually bang the chickens? And did you know that the roosters, they get it on like 30 times a day on average in like a farmyard where all the little chickens are? They're like horrible little pimps. I mean, can you imagine if people were like that? That's where I went to. But then I started reading about it. I'm like, I've never seen, like, you know, with the internet, you know everything. It's like the turtles having sex. Everyone's seen those videos of that. I've never seen anything of like a rooster mounting a chicken. So it just confused me. And then I started to read about it. It's not like full penetration. Ducks, they have that like really big curly Q giant 12-inch long dick where they pretty much rape other ducks. That's how duck procreation happens, which, I mean, that makes you rethink everything there is about ducks. But this is different. It's more like they touch up against them. It's not penetration. It's more of a bump and grind in the chicken coop. And then I started thinking even further. Can you imagine if people were like that? You'd have women walking around like the Michelin Man, or like Jeremy Renner in The Hurt Locker, or one of those guys who trains police dogs to attack minorities. Are you getting the visual that I'm giving here? Then every guy would be stripped bare, like it's midsummer in Haiti, walking around in Juneau, Alaska on Christmas, you know, in Bermuda shorts and a tank top, looking for a chance to bump into a few dozen ladies on his way to the grocery store. Which should really make you rethink that new abortion law in Texas, which really isn't even a law. It's more of like a judicial version of the tattletale phone we used to have in my kindergarten classroom. It was like this fake phone that the teacher put on the cabinet, and it wasn't connected to anything. And when you would go up to the teacher and be like, hey, Jimmy pulled Julie's hair, and the teacher's like, I don't want to hear it. You need to go over to the tattle phone. So you would go over to the phone and you would pick it up, and then you would tell into the phone, hey, Jimmy pulled Julie's hair. And that was enough. It basically, the teacher was like, I don't give a shit. Don't tell me. Go tattle into the tattle phone. That's what that law is. Except in Texas, instead of a toy phone, it's a bunch of self-righteous conservatives who think the government should have the right to control their body. That is, unless you're getting a vaccine, because then fuck that. They don't want the vaccine. The government can't control your body if they're injecting it with a vaccine. But if you get knocked up and, you can't support the child or whatever, let's say you're raped by your cousin, they're like, fuck that. The government controls your body. Vaccines, no. Rape, yes. Fucking Texans. Yeah, I completely forgot how this whole thing started. Did you know roosters have sex like 30 times a day? Fucking Texans. We're 44 minutes into this. I got a time for one more story. Everyone is so sensitive these days, and it's not in a good way. I long for the time when you could get away with a lot of stuff. This is gonna sound really bad, but it's like I miss when my office was crazy. Years ago, you know, it's I'm not talking like sexual harassment or anything like that. I'm just, things were different. Things were much different 10, 15 years ago. For example, once upon a time, one of my coworkers, he's based in Asia. He worked at our Asian office. He came in and he told us a joke. It's been one of my favorite jokes forever. And it's like he, even being Asian, I don't think he could tell this joke today, but I don't give a shit. So I'm going to tell this joke. And the joke was, what did the Asian janitor say when he came out of the closet? Supplies. You can't tell that joke now. You can't tell that joke. They're like, oh, that's racist. Like, no, it's not racist. It's a supplies closet. He came out of the supplies closet. And they're like, no, that's homophobic. No, it's not. It was a supplies closet. Like, you can't tell that joke now. Definitely can't tell it in a joke, even if you're of Asian descent being the one telling it. One of my favorite people in the world, we're gonna call him Tony. He used to work with me. He worked in my office, and I love this guy. He doesn't live here anymore. I talk to him every few months, but when he lived close, we were together a lot. Like it at the office, out of the office, on the weekends. Definitely one of my favorite people, one of my best friends in the world. I miss him a ton, but we were in the studio together. He would sit behind me and he would be in his desk. Like, his desk was behind my desk and our backs were against each other. And he was maybe 15 feet from me. And all of a sudden he would just push off of his desk as hard as he could in his chair and just roll across the room and plow into me as hard as he could from behind. And he thought that was hilarious. Shove me into the desk, which it was painful, but it was funny. I would be laughing. He would be laughing. He did that shit at least once a week. One day I'm standing at the copier. Motherfucker climbs up on our studio table, which is like 4 feet high. It's a big stand-up studio table. He climbs up on top of it and jumped off of the table screaming, "Flying elbow!" and just plows me into the copier. We knocked the copier into the wall, put a hole in the drywall. That's the kind of shit this guy did, but in a good way. His thing, I would be bitching about something. He goes, "Do you need a hug? Do you need a hug?" I miss him so much. There was a story I told on Twitch a few weeks ago that he was involved in, and I think I'm gonna share that story here because it is one of my favorite things, and I had forgotten all about it. It was years ago. There were a bunch of us that had traveled for a car show, big into the car scene, so we do a lot of traveling for shows. There was about 15 of us, I think, in a hotel. We had two joining rooms. We did a lot of drinking. This was in Tennessee, and the big thing with Tennessee for a long time, we used to go down for shows all the time, and they were, where it was at was a dry county. You could not buy beer. You could not buy liquor. None of the restaurants served anything. It was a completely dry county. That year we got down there was the first year they had approved a liquor license within a very small area of the town. Like, on the strip, there was now the ability to buy beer and wine. You couldn't get hard liquor, but you could get beer and you could get wine. We didn't understand all the rules, but we went out to dinner the first night and they were like, "Would you like a beer?" And we're like, "Oh my God, yes, bring us beer." Then the second night we're there, there's a brewery that opened close to our hotel. And there's a bunch of us who are like, "Hey, let's go over to that brewery." And on the sign, it said they had a band. It's like 9 o'clock. We walk over. It's like, there's like a 6-lane highway where the traffic can move about 45 miles an hour. And to cross the road, you can either go down to a crosswalk or like run across six lanes. It sounds bad, but it's not, because the traffic's not moving that quick. There's usually gaps. People slow down, let you go. So a lot of people cross the road. When you're sober, it's not a big deal. When you're drunk, it's something you probably shouldn't be doing. But anyway, we cross six-lane highway, go over to this place, and that we walk in. We sit down. The band starts to play. It's a great band, just doing a bunch of cover stuff. It's just something different, and it's fun. We're all sitting around this big table. Waitress comes out. I think there's probably six of us that decided to go over. And she's like, "What can I get you guys?" We're like, "Well, we want to see the beer menu. That's what we're here for. We want some food, and we want some beer." And this was a brewery, so they didn't have anything but their own micro-brewed beer, and they had maybe 25, 30 different kinds of beer. So they hand us this menu, and it's explained everything. We're like, holy shit, this is, like, we don't even know what to get. Like, we were going to get pitchers and stuff, and somebody's like, "Look, there's a sampler on here. What's the sampler?" So she explains it to us. They bring out this, like, 2-foot by 1-foot piece of paper that has a roadmap of all of their brews from light to dark, and there's like a little circle on it. She shows us what this menu looks like, and each one is about the size of a quarter, like an inch and a half around, and it would say the name of the beer, like what it is, like what flavor, is it an IPA, is it, you know, a stout or whatever. And then she says they have these glasses, and she shows them to us. They're about maybe 10, 12 inches tall, and only about an inch and a half in diameter. So each one was like 6 ounces of beer. Just guessing. Like, it wasn't a lot. You could down it if you wanted to, but it was maybe a little more than half a can of beer in this real tall, weird, skinny glass. And she said what they do is they bring it out and they put a sampler glass, one of these things, on every single dot so that you can try every microbrew they have from lightest to darkest. And it was like $20-25 for a sampler. And we're like, "Okay, we want to do the sampler." And she's like, "Okay." And she's like, "One sampler." They're like, no, we each want a sampler." She's looking at us like, "That's like for the table. Like, that's not for a person." Like, no, you're not listening to us. We each want the sampler. She's like, it's like 9:15. And she says, "At 10 o'clock, we're no longer allowed to serve alcohol. Our liquor license, the new county rule, is it ends at 10 o'clock. Are you sure you want the sampler?" And we're thinking that the reason she's not, like, pressing the sampler right now is because if we try it and then we see something that we want, we won't have enough time to order it. We're like, "No, just bring us the samplers." So we're arguing with her. We each want the samplers. She's like, "All right." You know, because they're expensive and everything else. So it's like 3 or 4 waitresses start carrying all this shit out, because it ends up being like 180 glasses of beer, these really tall, skinny glasses. They sit the mats down in front of all of us, and we are just, this is like the greatest thing that's ever happened. We are loving it. This is amazing. We each have all these beers, and they go from like piss flavored water, as light a beer as you can get, it's almost clear with like a hint of yellow, to like 10W30, as dark as you can get. Like, when you go to pour it out, it doesn't even come out like liquid. That's like the range of what these are. And we all decide we're going to start with the lightest and start going darker. And we start downing these things, and we're taking our time, because we're like, this band's here. We're going to be here for a few hours. This is a lot of freaking beer. This is like about 2 pitchers worth of beer a person total. We're going to slowly go through this. She comes back like 20 minutes later, and she's like, "Can we get you guys some food?" So we order food, and she's like, "You guys are going really slow on those samplers." And we thought she was joking. So then she comes back and she's like, "I have to let you know that our liquor license loses and we end it. It goes away in 15 minutes. We're like, "Yeah, that's fine." And we're all getting sort of buzzed at this point, because we've been drinking all this different beer. And she's like, "No, we have to clear the tables." We're like, "Whoa, what? What'd you say?" She says, "At 10 o'clock, we have to empty the tables. We have to remove any alcohol off of the tables." So now all of a sudden we understand why she didn't want to bring us out these samplers. So she's like, at 10 o'clock, they come out. We have to remove all alcohol from the restaurant, And that's where it ends. We still have, you know, the kitchen's open till 11, but this is it. So now we're looking down at all this, and everybody paid 20, 25 bucks for this sampler. I'm like, fuck, we're not going to let this shit go. So we all decide there and then we're finishing this shit in the next 15, 20 minutes. Like, this shit is gone. And we start hammering this beer, which was not a good idea. And it, in the beginning, it seemed... It was doable because they were little glasses. Then you get like 2/3 of the way through and the beer started to get darker and shit got out of hand. I think my buddy was sitting next to me and he's giving me this look like, how many more do you have? And she would walk by, the waitress would walk by and she's like, 7 minutes, guys. And they thought it, the waitresses thought it was funny because here's this table of all these, of these dudes just pretty much chugging beer. But then... we're all sitting there and the food comes out and we're slowly starting to realize that we're drunk, like really, really drunk. One of us started to slip off his bar stool and then you would move to try to catch him and realize you can't move that quick. Then as 10 o'clock round, I think everybody, I know we all didn't finish it, but everybody got pretty damn close. Then everybody had to piss. We started to get off the bar stools, and as soon as your feet hit the ground and you weren't touching anything, that's when we realized that all six of us were, we were not slightly buzzed. We were not drunk. We were fucking hammered. Hammered at a brewery in Tennessee across from our hotel was a 6-lane highway. We started to go to the restroom in pairs. Because it was the only way we could make it there without running into people or falling down. It was that bad. We stuck around. We ate the food because the consensus was if we continued to drink the food or to eat the food, it would suck up the alcohol. Because when you're that drunk, everything sounds like a great idea. And it, I think we stuck around until about 11:30. And I think everybody was like, I need to get back to the hotel. We need to go home because we're just biding our time. And as much alcohol as we had drank, I think we needed to be there till like 2 or 3 in the morning before it was relatively sober us walking back to the hotel. So we all just kind of, you know, we pay our bill, we stumble off the bar stools and slowly make our way out. But now there is a group of us walking back and we are... like it seems it's maybe 1/4 mile to the hotel, but it seems like 10 miles that walk, because everything is spinning. Nobody's barfing at this point, but we are just, I mean, it was probably the drunkest I've ever been, and not on just straight beer in a very short amount of time. We see the hotel coming. And somehow we all made it across the highway without getting killed. We get over there. We're across the highway. We're looking around and there's a go-kart place that had closed. Like they closed at 11 and we see it. My one buddy's like, they have a merry-go-round. There's a merry-go-round. Let's go get on the merry-go-round. So he takes off running and he climbs a fence and he gets to this little merry-go-round that's probably 20 feet in diameter. It's not a big merry-go-round. It's like this little thing and it's shut down. There's no lights. There's nothing. The whole place is closed and he climbs the fence and gets there. So as we get up there, I think everybody's trying to get him out. And then slowly one person would climb over to try to go get him. And then all of us are over there and he's like refusing to leave the merry-go-round. He's like, you guys got to get on the merry-go-round. It is so much fun, but we're all hammered. And it's like one person would get up on the merry-go-round and we're all just looking at him like, are we really doing this? And then yes, all of us hammered, get on the merry-go-round. We're all on this merry-go-round. It's shut down. It's not moving. We're just sitting there. And then he's like, close your eyes. So reluctantly, we each close our eyes and we weren't high. There was no drugs involved. This is just straight
hammered alcohol of all these different varieties and, you know, light to dark, different IPAs and stouts and just ales, everything. It was just this concoction of microbrewed beer that had us in this state of stupor. We're all on a merry-go-round at midnight, eyes closed. There's we're all having a ball, and everybody swears up and down that as we close our eyes, you can feel the merry-go-round turning. Well, yeah, because we're all blitzed and it's the room spinning. So we're sitting on this merry-go-round, just having the time of our lives. And then someone's like, can you hear the music? Like, I can hear the music. And people are walking by because they're still walking the strip and they're watching us. There's got to be pictures somewhere of a bunch of, I think this is long enough ago. This, I think I was still in my late 20s at this point, of all of us drunk on a shutdown merry-go-round having the time of our lives. I don't even remember how that ended. I remember getting back to the hotel and ordering a bunch more pizza. We ordered pizza. I don't think any of us drank the rest of the night. And we were so hungover the next day. I know people threw up. By morning, people were getting sick. But that's probably my greatest. That was the most fun with alcohol I have ever had that I didn't get sick, because I was one of the lucky ones. My God, I miss him so much. Okay, that's a good length. It's a good. There's so much stuff I didn't get into. Some stories I didn't tell. Definitely wanted to talk about Game of Thrones. We'll leave that for the next episode. The cringeworthy videos on YouTube. That failure. We're going to talk about that. I never even talked about any books or anything. And it's, you know, all this has happened the entire year. Plus, I didn't really bitch about the pandemic or anything. Maybe a little bit. Mostly about Texans. Fucking Texans. All right. Thanks a lot for hanging out. Hope you enjoyed this. Let me know. If you want me to keep doing this, I will keep doing it. I just need to make sure it's going to be worth it in the end. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the support. Make sure you find me on Twitch. Find me on YouTube. Check out finallysleeps.com. That's where, you know, you can do it. If you want to see more episodes of the podcast, you can get there by podcast.finallysleeps.com. That's where the old episodes are. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, guys. And until next time, this is Travis signing off.